Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Psalm 101 says, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. What a challenge this is to us. With the advent of in-home entertainment and with all the blasphemy and wickedness that flows from it, you could almost think that God had this particular verse written for us right here in the 21st century. This is a great challenge to us, and we're going to talk today on how we might put into practice these verses that David penned so many years ago. Stay tuned for more right here on Skies Revival Radio.
Great light, and those who dwell in dark depression, the light it will shine on them. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family, and our fellowship is called the Fellowship of the Unashamed. We are unashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we want to come into conformity with that same gospel of Christ. We're going to talk today about a challenge that we call the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment. It has nothing to do with money, so you can relax. It is nothing more than a help to those who truly desire to get out of the world and get the world out of them. Our fellowship is nothing more than a group of people who are concerned enough about their relationship with God to do something radical about it. Each one has decided that whatever the cost is, that his soul is worth it. If it means becoming out of touch with the latest movie releases, fine. If it means becoming totally different from everyone around you, that's why it's called unashamed. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of the Father with his holy angels. That's Mark 8:38. Each one who is a member of the Fellowship of the Unashamed has made a commitment to seek God earnestly, and the commitment involves two parts. The first is to stop planting bad seeds that produces corruption. The second is to start planting good seed that results in eternal life. Going off that verse again, that whoever sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but those who sow to the Spirit will reap life. sowing to the flesh is just doing everything that is natural to you, everything that is natural to the world around you. It is making no steps at all to come out and be separated unto Christ. Sowing to the Spirit means seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're going to discuss the first part now and the second in another lesson. The commitment to stop planting bad seeds includes the truly radical step of eliminating worldly input from our lives for as much as it is in our power to do so. I personally know those who have disposed of their TVs, disconnected or sold their game equipment, eliminated their secular music collection, and stopped going to movies. Now, there is a group who is serious about their relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine how delighted their Savior is with them? Can you think how pleasing that is to Him? His children have just become salty and full of light. We in the Western Hemisphere do not face persecution like our brothers and sisters in other countries at this time, but we do have to make the same radical commitment to God. We have to decide to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. If worldly entertainment is deadening your soul, then the price of being a disciple of Jesus is to get rid of it, to get it out of your life. Hallelujah. And if you think that is going too far and demanding too much, please consider these scriptures. James 1:27. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. David says even more clearly in Psalm 101, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. These words speak directly to us and should be our standard. Our walk with God is corrupted right within our home. It is compromised by every minute of worldly entertainment we subject our souls to. So it is exciting to obey this word of God. It is victorious to put aside the worthless things that we set before our eyes. The psalmist goes further to the point by saying he hates the work of those who fall away. How clearly does this speak to us? It gives us the courage and strength to stand and say, wait, I don't care who the actor or the director of the latest blockbuster is. I hate the work of those who fall away. I'm not going to forfeit my soul or my relationship with Jesus for the work of someone who has no knowledge of eternal life. Why should I follow the multitude in sin just because everyone else is? That's Exodus 23:2. And so we make a stand. It is a stand that will cost you the scorn of some friends. But what is that in exchange for eternal life? It may initially cost us a little discomfort as we give up one of our greatest pleasures. But isn't Jesus worth it? Yes, we're glad to sell all to obtain the pearl of great price. Notice also the words of the psalmist using the same language to describe our entanglement with these things. He says, it shall not fasten its grip on me. That is precisely what we mean when we say these pleasures deaden us and cause us to lose sight of those things which are vitally important to us. There is almost no one in America or Canada who is not struggling in this matter. The worthless things we set before our eyes have fastened their grip on us. We're going to head into chapter 23 now of the book we're doing a study on. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can get a copy on Amazon or by going to our website, The Sky Family. Just type it into your search and we'll come right up. You can also get a PDF download from our website that won't cost you anything. And I think you'll really enjoy it for the cartoons that are in it, if for nothing else. So heading into chapter 23 of Through the Narrow Gate, this heading is entitled, Shh, Sleeping Virgins. Because of the warehouses of books that have theorized about the last days, most modern minds are not overly worried that the end times will catch them off guard. We all privately think that we are basically aware of what's going on and that we will be prepared when the time comes. Based on the popular books, we will see certain obvious signs of the times that would indeed be hard to miss, even by the most casual Christians. Unfortunately, the theories are built on passages of Scripture that use what is called prophetic imagery. Even those who claim to be strict biblical literalists admit that we probably won't see an actual 10-horned beast rise up from the ocean. Because of the allegorical nature of prophetic imagery, it is prudent not to be too dogmatic in our interpretation of the end times, although, in fact, almost everyone is. We see from previously fulfilled prophecies of Daniel that all the images seen in his visions related to certain kings and kingdoms. So the unfulfilled scenes may also have a much more natural fulfillment that could be hard to see at the moment. And since there are almost as many interpretations as there are interpreters, it is better for us to stick to safe ground. And what is the safe ground concerning the end times, concerning the last days? What is safe ground in this area? Well, I can think of none safer than the words of Jesus himself. Therefore, we will take a rather unique stand by putting heavy emphasis on the descriptions of the last days found in the Gospels. The Gospels take precedence. Jesus warns us repeatedly in the Gospels that the greatest danger during the last days is that his people, the church, will fall asleep. Surprisingly, he doesn't say they will fall away because of persecution. He says many will be asleep when he returns. The wakeful bride will go in with him, and the rest will be shut out. These are clear passages. There are many of them, and yet for some reason, they are almost completely ignored by the experts of the end times. The more obscure passages, however, are widely quoted. Let's examine the passage concerning the 10 sleeping virgins. Because it's lengthy, I'm going to summarize it while you follow along in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. 10 virgins, which symbolize the church, go out to meet the bridegroom. That's Jesus. Half of them took extra oil with them for their lamps, while the other half assumed that they would only be a short while and therefore figured no extra oil was needed. While they were waiting, the bridegroom delayed. As the hours wore on, they all got drowsy and fell asleep. Suddenly there was a shout. He was coming. Those with their lamps still burning went out to meet him, and those whose lamps had gone out missed him. The bridegroom took those who were ready in with him to the wedding feast. Eventually, the rest came with their lamps refilled, but it was too late. In response to their frantic calls, the bridegroom answered that he did not even know them. The message in this parable contains two distinct parts. One is that they needed to have endurance as they waited for their beloved. As the word says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. Jesus is referring to this when he talks about the oil for their lamps. They had to have perseverance to be ready all the way to the very end when he comes. The second part, which is what we're going to focus on right now, is that they all became drowsy and fell asleep. This warning to be on the alert is the most prominent part of Jesus' teaching on the last days. He mentions it again in Mark 13:32, and in many other places. But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. In fact, in the entire Gospel of Mark, the warning to be awake and alert is Jesus' only exhortation on the matter of his second coming. He tells us not to be caught asleep after he warns us that everyone will be drowsy. What does Jesus mean when he says asleep? Since he is obviously not referring to it in a literal sense, the sleep he is warning us against is a spiritual sleep. That means being asleep to the things of God. The Apostle Paul also describes sleep as spiritual degeneracy. He speaks of the same issue in 1 Thessalonians 5. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be on the alert and sober. So here we have an accurate picture of sleep. It is a deadness toward the things of God. And what are some of the things that we know about sleep? Well, ask anyone who has fallen asleep during one of my lessons. Sleep comes upon you in an undetectable way. It is so irresistible that when you're under the influence of it, you can think of nothing else. When we hear of the virgins becoming drowsy, we all know what a horrible feeling it is if you are supposed to be alert. It is very familiar to us all when we are attending a particularly long lecture class or while we are driving home late at night. We know it is vitally important that we stay awake, and yet the urge to close our eyes for just a second is overwhelming. If we can think about our waiting for Jesus to be the same as a long drive late at night, we will have a very good picture of how important it is to stay alert. Our life depends on it. Because of the extreme consequences of falling asleep, we take every precaution against it. We stop often. We walk in the cold air. We stop for coffee. We open the window. We earnestly fight to stay awake because we must. As we wait for our blessed Savior to return, we must have the same urgency. We must always keep at the front of our minds that not only our life, but our eternal spiritual life depends on it. And then we must do everything necessary to prevent worldly sleep from overtaking us. I'm going to tell you another story. I'm going to have to wait for the next lesson because we're out of time. So please join us in the next lesson as we talk about the road trip. In the meantime, let us examine our hearts and see how we are falling asleep in the world, how the worldly influence around us is causing us to be dead to the things of God and to lose sight of our eternal perspective. These things are of such importance to us. Only those who set their face like flint for the New Jerusalem are going to have the endurance, perseverance to enter that blessed kingdom. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please come to our rescue. Please wake us up out of our worldly slumber and please keep us awake. Help us to stay alert, to be prepared, to be ready for your coming. And when you come, Lord, may we be dressed in robes of righteousness, not lulled to sleep full of all the worldly passions of the flesh, but clothed in your righteousness. Lord, may your bride be ready to meet you, and may we be part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We look forward to getting together with you again next lesson. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.